your body will wobble. So we were walking about town, and we went up to the Acropolis and the Parthenon, and
we went to the went into town, into Athens, and wandered around the old section around the Acropolis. And there's a section called the Plaka.
Plaka.
Which is just it's one of the oldest sections in Athens, and around the Acropolis. It's very picturesque and kind of romantic. Very narrow streets, sort of cobblestone in a way, with marble, and windy, narrow streets and block houses. Very nice looking.
So anyway, that's where Lynn started holding my hand, and
he hasn't stopped since. So.
It was a big moment.
It was a very big moment. It was okay as long as nobody saw us.
It was
as far
scared
as I was concerned. Because let me talk. because when you hold hands in YWAM, that's it. You're committed.
It.
You're serious.
Uh-oh.
God's ordained marriage. You're headed towards it. The whole thing.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, oh God, if anybody sees us, hold hands, that's it, you know, you're living in a community, you can't live it down. So I was back and forth with this whole thing. I, you know, wanted to hold his hand as long as nobody could see it, but then if anybody came along and we saw, I wanted to drop it, like a hot potato, you know. And he got him real frustrated, and he was like, look, you're either going to hold my hand or you're not going to hold my hand. Now what is it going to be?
None of this halfway measure.
So he left it at that point, and I said, okay, I will hold your hand. And then I regretted it every minute afterwards, you know. It's like, and I kept, and then I remember.
She was walking through the streets giddy. She was really nervous.
Yeah,
you know, this
was
gets
nervous.
To me, when you hold hands, that means you've got to get married, you know. I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, when you're in a community, you know, everybody's watching you, and if they know you're
that
in any
meant
kind
to
of
be
relationship,
facetious.
Yeah. Okay, that won't say anything about it.
No, I was, not you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I remember. So we were headed towards where I was going to give the evening performance, which is in, what's the name of that square? Central? No, was it Central?
It's in the main square in Athens.
The main central square.
Syntagma?
Could be, yeah.
Maybe it's Syntagma.
Anyway, it was the big square, and
it's circled by modern buildings. Mm. It's the largest square.
It's right downtown Athens, and we were holding hands, and we went in to get some coffee. I remember, and I was using it as an excuse. I needed my other hand, you know, to hold my coffee, and then as we were approaching, I was getting more and more nervous as we were approaching the square, and I was like, oh, I have to find something in my purse. And I was digging in my purse. Lynn was sort of wise to my tactics, you know, and the closer we got, the harder he was holding my hand. He was just squeezing me, so I was like, you know, I just didn't have a choice, you know, this limp little hand. And we arrived finally, and I was looking around frantically for the bus, and just dying, thinking I was going to run into all my theater troupe who was going to see me there. Holding hands with Lynn, and the first person that saw us was this guy by the name of Jeff Woods, who, I guess I liked him a little bit before this, so there's, you know, that possibility was kind of saying death to that possibility, you know, being
with Lynn.
That
took care of him, didn't it, Lynn?
And
he's a good guy.
He's a real good guy. We like him. We're still friends with him. But that was. And then he was, you know, he was in absolute shock because our relationship had been sort of developing and people had seen us more together, but this was like, well, holding hands.
This was very quick.
It's very quick to most people and well, to us too, to me anyway. And so then we went, <It's funny. laughs> I feel
it's
shaking
great.
Belly here.
Just
so then we, Then I remember I got in the bus, and there was this girl, the leader's wife, one of the leader's wives, and I remember I got in there. She was changing in the bus. That's where we put up things on the windows, blinds or clothes or whatever, towels, and changed. And she was changing there. And I said, Jody, what am I going to do? You know, he's holding my hand, you know. And she said, well, you know, how do you feel about it? And I said, well, I don't know. We haven't got it cleared through leadership or anything, you know. It's like, and I don't know, you know.
Boy,
it's getting
can
so,
I hold her hand?
It's getting so serious, you know. And what she advised, just, she didn't really advise me anything except maybe just to cool it until I knew in myself what I wanted. So I remember I went out, and Lynn was waiting outside the bus, and I let him have it. You know, I said, I can't hold your hand until I know where this relationship's going. And this is, you know, this is too much. This is too fast. You know, I haven't even prayed about it, or, you know, had a chance to really think about it, or we haven't got it cleared through leadership or anything. And so he said, okay, all right. I'll give you some time. And I said, okay, how much time are you going to give me? He said,
no, wait a minute. I said, okay, I'm going to give you some time. And then I said, how much time do you need?
I said, and 2 weeks.
She said, 2 weeks. And I thought, 2 weeks? That's forever. And I thought about it. I stopped for a while, and it was about 30 seconds or 45 seconds, which is a long time, you know, to be thinking about something like that. And I said, okay, I'll give you 2 days.
I said,
I want to know in 2 days. And then she said, well, what happens after 2 days? I said, if you don't know in 2 days, it's all over.
Yeah, really? Some choice, huh?
Wow.
So I know. I mean, he says 2 days, and I go, 2 days? You gotta be kidding. I thought 2 weeks was, you know, I was giving you a fair chance with 2 weeks, and he goes, no, 2 days, you know? So I just freaked out.
And she gave me the answer. In 1 day.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
She gave me the answer yes in 1 day.
Well, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah, tell us what happened.
So I went back and I was totally flipped out, because I was like, 2 days, I can't give any answers. So I went and I talked to all my friends about it, and I remember Marianne, a really good friend of mine, said to me, well, he's not asking you to marry him and give you an answer in 2 days. He's just simply asking you if you are interested in developing the relationship and in seeing where it goes. He's not saying, let's, you know, have this be for sure. So that's what made me, that's what eased all the pressure in my mind. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, yeah, well, that's no biggie.
Sure.
I'm just thinking, you know, I'll just spend time getting to know him. And if it doesn't work out, okay. If it does, great. So then I remember it was a Monday night, went back to him, and I said, well, I told him that thing, you know, it was like, so it was 1 day after, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll be willing to get to know you, you know, and spend that time and that kind of thing. So
it was more romantic than that, though. Because we were in the
back door of the kitchen.
we were in the campground in Lutsa.
The steps of the kitchen.
And it was it's really out in the countryside. Lutsa is a small Greek village, and we were in this sort of campground in a way. It was sort of a converted campground.
Oh.
But it was pretty late at night. Well, it was really dark out. Maybe it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. Maybe it was 11. It was pretty late. But anyway, we went on the back steps of the building that we were using as a kitchen in the campground. It was only YWAM people in this campground. It was only us, you know. And we sat down on the steps, and she said that she had her answer. And there was a big moon out. Mm. It was dark night. There were no lights around as far as town lights and things like that, so it was pretty dark, but there was a really
stars
full moon.
In the sky.
It was really beautiful, and she sat there, and I can't exactly remember the exact thing that went on, but she said, I've been thinking about it, I've been praying about it, and talking to people, and the answer is yes.
And I said, if all it is just a matter of getting to know you better, and that's not necessarily that we would get married, you know, then the answer's yes.
And I said, okay.
I wanted to qualify that, make it really clear.
So this is all happened in Athens?
Yeah, all in Athens.
Wow.
Well, in Greece, we were outside of Athens, so, yeah.
Well, did you sit together on the bus going back then?
No. We flew to Berlin. Or do we? Yeah, I guess we did. We flew to Berlin.
Well, was that immediately after you said yes, or were we there for a while?
No, we were there for a while. Yeah. We were there for a month altogether.
And even after she said yes, we were there for, I don't know, another 2 weeks, 3 weeks or something?
About 2 weeks more.
2 weeks. And during that time, we spent a lot of time together because Jill was going into various parts of Athens and a few other places giving drama presentations with her drama troupe. And we arranged it so that I would be the official photographer for the drama group because they needed publicity shots for the future. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to do that.
And you needed to be around Jill.
And I needed to be around Jill. So we actually spent almost every day, almost, we spent a lot of time with one another, mm-hmm. going to and from these, mm-hmm. these things. It took an hour to get into Athens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd sit on the bus and talk.
And then I would help her at the places where the drama was being presented, and she'd be kind of, you know, edgy about the thing, and I'd talk to her, you know, and this and that, and I'd go and get her water when she needed it, because sometimes it was hot, so I'd find water for her, or mm-hmm. get her a soft drink or something, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was a good time, of sort of getting to know each other, but it was a very intense time, too.
Yeah, because we were busy all the time. We'd never really had enough time for each other as much time as we wanted, really, because we were always performing every day and busy doing that or rehearsing or something.
Your performance, was that on an outside stage or in?
Well, it was on the streets.
In the streets,
In squares in the streets. They have all kinds of squares in Athens, just mm-hmm. thousands of them, and we performed, you know, I don't know how many times.
It wasn't really intensely. In the streets. It was, she means by in the streets or on the streets as being within the city itself, mm-hmm. out in the open somewhere. But
on
these
a square,
things, these things were performed in the squares. And mm-hmm. in one case, you did have a stage.
That's what I said. In one case, we had a stage.
Two cases.
Some of this was put on television, wasn't it?
Well, that was when we went back to Holland. Yeah. We were asked by the Dutch Christian television station there to work with them in producing the mm-hmm. TV special.
Mm-hmm. That's jumping ahead, though.
Yeah, that's jumping
ahead. Oh, okay. Tell us then.
Well, okay, then at the end of Athens, Lynn took the bus back up to Holland, and our theater troupe was asked to come to Berlin and perform there before as a pre... What was happening in Berlin at that... In 1981.
There was an evangelistic outreach, I think, of a lot of Christian groups within Berlin. They were combining forces and going out
into
the streets.
Was that the one that Billy Graham was involved in?
I don't know.
There was a big international evangelical.
No, that's in Amsterdam.
That was Amsterdam.
Just
yeah,
late
that was recently, just last year.
Oh, there have been two of them.
Oh, have there?
A couple of them.
Oh, maybe that was that. That could have been it.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
But anyway, they were asked to perform in
it was a pre-evangelistic type of thing, just to kind of prepare whoever was coming.
Oh.
So that's what we did, and we were there for, was it 2 weeks again? Yeah, we were there 6 weeks altogether. I mean, away from Holland 6 weeks, so it was two more additional weeks, and that was really hard, because sometimes we performed two, and sometimes even three times a day.
Mm.
And you get up, you have a very regimented schedule. We got up early and had breakfast and then went and did some rehearsing. And then we'd rehearse in the morning and then we'd have like middle of the afternoon off. But we were too far away, at least from where I lived, and we lived with this little mm-hmm. lady. It was too far away to commute back to get some rest at her place. So we just sort of walk around Berlin but we were too tired, you know, and we'd sit down and have coffee and maybe do a little shopping, but mostly we just like to go somewhere and sleep if we could. We couldn't, though. And then we'd have to wait until the evening performance, then we'd go set up in some square also.
How long did a performance take?
It takes about an hour, about mm-hmm. 50 minutes, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty long and involved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then the setting up and warming up and that whole thing took some time, mm-hmm. and praying before the performance, so we had, you know, it was really involved, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a full 2 weeks. And then we took the train back to Holland. And Lynn was in Amsterdam at the time. And I had written to him and told him when we were coming back exactly. And he was there to meet me when we got back, when we got off the train. Remember that?
Yeah, and I was scared too that during that time she had changed her mind again, mm-hmm. you know, and so I was really, I was at my wit's end for a long time before she came back. But when she did come back, then I felt reassured because it seemed like she was still interested in the relationship, and she had brought me mm-hmm. a few gifts.
Yeah, and nice gifts.
And I had gotten her a few things too, so it was still on.
Yeah, I remember. This doesn't have anything to do with our relationship, but I remember this is how hard we were worked. After 6 weeks of intensive performing, we got back to Amsterdam on a Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. We figured, oh, they're going to give us a break. I mean, we've been, you know, we're beat, you know. And we got back, and they gave us Sunday off and expected us to start work again on Monday morning.
Oh, my God.
It was. The leader who decided that later apologized for pushing us into the ground, working us so hard. But at the time, boy, all of us had rotten attitudes. We really did. We were just,
you're
like,
just plain tired.
Oh, we were exhausted.
Sure.
Exhausted. But anyway, so.
So what date was that about?
That we got back to mm-hmm, Amsterdam? Mm-hmm. It was in middle of May.
Middle of May, mm-hmm. year?
81.
81, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you had an apartment then in Amsterdam?
I had an apartment, uh-huh.
Ward in Lindland.
He was out in Heidebeek at the mm-hmm. time, and mm-hmm. Then we stayed, I guess, over the next couple of months, which was the rest of May and June, he came in periodically as much as he could.
I came
at
in
least
on
every weekend.
I came in on weekends, mm-hmm. usually took a train and bus in. Mm-hmm. It would take me probably an hour and a half or 2 hours mm-hmm. to get into the city. Mm-hmm. And there was a two or three week spell, though, where I volunteered to be part of a demolition crew we went into an old building that was going to be ripped down, and we had, YWAM had purchased a lot of the plumbing in this building, and also the furnace for heating the building, and our job was to take these
dismantle it,
take these diamond bit saws and saw these pipes and rip these things out of the walls, radiators too, rip them off the walls and load them on the trucks. Mm-hmm. It was really hard work, but it gave me a couple of weeks to spend with Jill. Mm-hmm. I just gave the library over to somebody else to take care of for that time, and I spent the time in Amsterdam.
At that time, too, Malin and Doris came to visit, mm-hmm. and they went up to Sweden, and they came first to Amsterdam. That's when I met them for the first time.
And that's when Malin's suitcase that had been lost for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. What was that, honey?
That was when Malin's suitcases had been lost for 3 days. And I remember seeing those pipes that you cut.
Oh, yeah. I think Maylin was lost too. She ended up in Paris, and the plane was rerouted.
That's the first time we met Jill up on, I think, second floor in somebody's apartment.
Yeah, that's right.
Where did you see the pipes?
I don't remember, but you said that these are the pipes that I have been sawing up.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And we went out to the Pannekoeken House, and we took a canal boat ride together. It's the first time I'd ever taken one, except when I was a little kid. And then what else did we do together? We had a little birthday celebration.
Uh-huh. And we went to the flea market.
The flea market, uh-huh. That's right, yeah. And you guys walked until your legs were killing you. Your feet were killing you.
And it was cold and rainy.
Yeah.
Terrible.
The day we took the canal boat ride was pretty, though. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
How much longer did you remain in Holland then?
Well, Len left. That's when you took that trip to Canada, and I think you left shortly after my birthday.
That's July 9th.
And before your birthday, because I remember I didn't celebrate your birthday with you. Mm-hmm. And then I left at the very end of the performance time, which was at the very end of July. I think it was the last day of July. No, it wasn't the last day of July. It was sometime in July. I think it was maybe the 20-something, 26th or something like that. Then I flew home to Connecticut. Lou.
You married when? Lou was some years ago, I'm sure.
I was going to say Lynn. I was going to say Flu. I go Lou. Lou Flu.
Well, you got out of that one nicely.
I do. I always combine words. Lynn flew up to Canada and then came down here at that time. And then I went to Connecticut, flew out here at the end of July, met him, saw you, and then he took me out to dinner on the 31st and proposed to me.
Yeah? What did I propose?
a toast to a good and happy life.
Where did it happen that he proposed?
I can't remember the name of the place.
It's a lobster trap down in Oxnard, right on the marina
shores. Yeah.
Would you care to expound on that evening?
Well, I remember that evening, like all young gentlemen, that situation, that I was pretty nervous, but I think I looked pretty cool during the whole thing.
What was your version?
Cool. And you think so?
I knew something was up.
But
I'm no dummy.
she was dressed really nicely. She looked really beautiful that evening, because
she
knew something was up, especially that evening.
Okay. Thanks.
And of course I was dressed up in my best, and
I dungarees.
No, I was dressed in a suit, but
his haircut.
I had my haircut, I guess. And then we had a table next to the window, and it was very romantic.
It was.
You never seen him without a beard, have you?
No.
You know, he has a dimple right here?
No.
Look at his mother's
one
dimple,
day,
right? Just like hers.
Oh, yeah? He promised me one day I'm going to see it, so.
And she had lobster, and
they go like this. Can we tell you about the waitress we had? She said, and you can either have lobster.
And her fingers went up by her head. She was acting like a lobster.
And I had.
I was like, oh boy, Californians. I don't know.
I had swordfish. I had swordfish steak, and it was really delicious.
It was really good.
It was very good.
Mine was really good too.
And
you know, the Love Boat owns that same concern.
Oh, along
the lobster trap.
The Love Boat. What's the Love Boat?
On television.
Oh. They own that, really?
Mm-hmm.
The producers or something?
The company.
And so?
So when did you give her the diamond?
Well, I gave her the diamond after we had eaten dinner.
After you read some scripture verses.
Oh, it was kind of interesting, because that day was the 31st, and I was reading my Bible that day, and so I read Proverbs 31, okay, the 31st. Now, Proverbs 31 deals with the perfect wife.
Oh.
Yeah, he acted like this, like he hadn't had this planned, you know?
No, I didn't have it planned. I didn't know that Proverbs 31 had to do with a perfect wife. And so, but it hadn't, and I thought, boy, that's really something. So when we were at dinner, I had my New Testament with, and so I told Jill that I had come across this scripture today. Mm-hmm. And so I took out my Bible and I read it to her. And then I don't remember what I said then. But I think I said, I have
Are you willing to get up early and work hard all your days? Are you going to praise me at the gates?
That's right.
And raise our children to praise me too? If you will do this, here's this ring.
Sign on the dotted line.
No, that's not the way it went.
Come on. Sounds good.
I said, I have something for you, so I reached in my coat pocket and I took out a box and I said, this is for you.
And I said, oh, a box! Oh, whoa!
And she opened it up, and while she opened it, I gave it to her. I gave it to her, and she was, at that time, she was, it was...
Slurping my coffee.
No, it was like she was, come on, this is serious. She it was almost as if she was assessing her emotions at the time. You know, she stopped, and there was sort of a, you know, there was an odd quality about her in a way, because she knew what was happening, and she sort of stopped, and just sort of felt the time in a way. You know, she was she was really perceptive of what was going on.
Deeper than I thought.
This is historical, yeah.
It was a very deep thing for her. And she's sort of looking at me, and she was looking down, and then she opened the box, and she saw the ring, the diamond ring. And then she just held it for a while looking at it. And then I think her eyes drew kind of misty, and she was almost at the verge of tears, you know. Mm. And it was really nice.
Now, where did the diamond come from? Where is the history of the diamond?
You got Mom crying over there, too.
Mom, what?
Yeah, you might.
The diamond...
was my diamond that Dad gave.
The diamond itself.
The diamond itself was the diamond I got.
Wait a minute, you want it?
The diamond was the diamond that Dad gave me when we were engaged after I got to the States. But it was his mother's diamond, Ruth Holmquist, that originally got the diamond. It's called a miner's cut, the diamond itself.
So the diamond itself was a family heirloom, but it was set into another setting, a modern setting. And it's a very nice setting, too.
Mm-hmm.
And,
nice and simple, which I like.
Yes. So it's very nice. Do you want to reflect upon that time?
Well, what did you feel when you said you were sitting there thinking of time?
Well, I don't really recall that I was doing all that, but it's nice to know that I was.
That's good.
Yeah, you were. It took a long time.
I think I made a joke about getting up early and all that business.
And I said, I said, will you marry me? And then she looked.
I got misty-eyed and I said yes.
And she said yes. But she said it in a very gentle way.
That's beautiful. It's nice.
That to
well, I think it might be a good idea, but I want to ask Jill a few things about herself, where she was born, and where she went to school, and
before we do that, why don't we flip the tape
like
over, because it's near the end of the
set. Near the end? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make some comments before while we're running out on this? Or
we can flip it over and we'll have it on the other side.
Try that.